It's March 16th. Our reading in the Old Testament today comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. We'll go through chapter 25, verse 18. We'll see that Balak could not silence Balaam, no matter how he tried. In his third oracle, Balaam saw Israel in Canaan, conquering their enemies and enjoying their inheritance. His statement in verse 9 about blessing and cursing reminds us of God's covenant with Abraham. Balaam was actually condemning himself when he spoke. God does not defend his people's sins, but he always defends his people, for they are dear to him. Well, in his fourth oracle, Balaam saw Israel's future glory in the coming of the Messiah. God used a covetous prophet to give a beautiful picture of the Savior and the victories he would win. Satan and his followers do their best to curse God's people today. However, through it all, God's grace still works. God's people are still blessed, and God's name is glorified, for God can turn the curse into a blessing. You see, Balaam could not destroy Israel with his curses, but he could defile Israel with his counsel. He seduced the Jews into disobeying God by suggesting that Balak invite Israel to the religious feasts of the Moabites. There, the Jews quickly fell into sin. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. March 16th. Numbers chapter 24, verse 1 through chapter 25, verse 18. By now, Balaam realized that the Lord intended to bless Israel, so he did not resort to divination, as he often did. Instead, he turned and looked out toward the wilderness, where he saw the people of Israel camped, tribe by tribe. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and this is the prophecy he delivered. This is the prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of the man whose eyes see clearly, who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob! How lovely are your homes, O Israel! They spread before me like groves of palms, like fruitful gardens by the riverside. They're like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will gush out in buckets. Their offspring are supplied with all they need. Their king will be greater than Agag. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them up from Egypt, drawing them along like a wild ox. He devours all the nations that oppose him, breaking their bones in pieces, shooting them with arrows. Like a lion, Israel crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to arouse her? Blessed is everyone who blesses you, O Israel. And cursed is everyone who curses you. King Balak flew into a rage against Balaam. He angrily clapped his hands and shouted, I called you to curse my enemies. Instead, you've blessed them three times. Now get out of here. Go back home. I had planned to reward you richly, but the Lord has kept you from your reward. Balaam told Balak, Don't you remember what I told your messengers? I said, even if Balak were to give me a palace filled with silver and gold, I am powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord. I told you that I could say only what the Lord says. Now I am returning to my own people. But first, let me tell you what the Israelites will do to your people in the future. This is the prophecy Balaam delivered. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of the man whose eyes see clearly, who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not in the present time. I perceive him, but far in the distant future. A star will rise from Jacob. A scepter will emerge from Israel. It will crush the foreheads of Moab's people, cracking the skulls of the people of Sheth. Edom will be taken over, and Seir, its enemy, will be conquered, while Israel continues on in triumph. A ruler will rise in Jacob, who will destroy the survivors of Ur. Then Balaam looked over at the people of Amalek and delivered this prophecy. Amalek was the greatest of nations, but its destiny is destruction. Then he looked over at the Kenites and prophesied, "You are strongly situated. Your nest is set in the rocks. But the Kenites will be destroyed when Assyria takes you captive." Balaam concluded his prophecies by saying, "Alas, who can survive when God does this? Ships will come from the coasts of Cyprus. They will oppress both Assyria and Eber, but they too will be utterly destroyed." Then Balaam and Balak returned to their homes. While the Israelites were camped at Acacia, some of the men defiled themselves by sleeping with the local Moabite women. These women invited them to attend sacrifices to their gods, and soon the Israelites were feasting with them and worshiping the gods of Moab. Before long, Israel was joining in the worship of Baal of Peor, causing the Lord's anger to blaze against the people. The Lord issued the following command to Moses: "Seize all the ringleaders and execute them before the Lord in broad daylight, so his fierce anger will turn away from the people of Israel." So Moses ordered Israel's judges to execute everyone who had joined in worshiping Baal of Peor. Just then, one of the Israelite men brought a Midianite woman into the camp, right before the eyes of Moses and all the people, as they were weeping at the entrance of the tabernacle. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron the priest, saw this, he jumped up and left the assembly. Then he took a spear and rushed after the man into his tent. Phinehas thrust the spear all the way through the man's body and into the woman's stomach. So the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but not before 24,000 people had died. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites by displaying passionate zeal among them on my behalf. So I have stopped destroying all Israel, as I intended to do in my anger. So tell him that I am making my special covenant of peace with him. In this covenant, he and his descendants will be priests for all time, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the people of Israel." The Israelite man killed with the Midianite woman was named Zimri, son of Salu, the leader of the family of the tribe of Simeon. The woman's name was Cozbi. She was the daughter of Zur, the leader of a Midianite clan. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Attack the Midianites and destroy them, because they assaulted you with deceit by tricking you into worshiping Baal of Peor, and because of Cozbi, the daughter of a Midianite leader, who was killed on the day of the plague." March 16th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our text today will come from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 35, and here's what we'll find there. You cannot escape Jesus Christ. His birth affected Caesar's politics, the ministry of angels, and the activities of common men. In that day, shepherds were looked upon with disdain, but God singled them out to be the first human messengers of the Messiah's birth. His coming touched worshipers and even scholars. The angels sang about him, and he is still the theme of the greatest music. Luke wrote about him, and he is still the subject of the greatest literature. The shepherds hastened to behold him, and he is still at the center of the greatest art. Teachers listened to him and marveled, and he is still the focal point for all truth and wisdom. In his development, Jesus was perfectly balanced. Intellectually, he had wisdom. Physically, he had stature. Spiritually, he had favor with God. And socially, he had favor with man. And he is still the greatest example for childhood and youth. He alone is worthy of our worship. So, come, let us adore him. And now let's read all about it as we present to you our reading in the New Testament today. March 16th, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 35. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them, and because they had seen the child just as the angel had said. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice according to what was required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. He was a righteous man and very devout. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he eagerly expected the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Lord, now I can die in peace, as you promised me. I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Joseph and Mary were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, "This child will be rejected by many in Israel, and it will be their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy to many others. Thus the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Psalm 59, verses 1 through 17. "I will pray," says David. David compared his enemies to dogs prowling the city streets and growling over the garbage. Saul was after him again. and only the Lord could deliver David. "I will wait" is the theme of verses 8 through 15. David's wife helped him escape that time, but David faced several years of danger and exile before he received his rightful throne. Twice he could have killed Saul, but he refused to do so. He knew that God would deal with his enemies in his way and in his time, and he'll do the same for you and me today, in his way and in his time. "And I will sing" is the theme of the next verses, 16 and 17. David had a song in the morning because God gave him joy in the morning. Things often look worse at night, so wait for the morning. God will give you your song of praise. March 16th, Psalm chapter 59, verses 1 through 17. For the choir director, a psalm of David, regarding the time Saul sent soldiers to watch David's house in order to kill him. To be sung to the tune, "Do Not Destroy." Rescue me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who have come to destroy me. Rescue me from these criminals. Save me from these murderers. They have set an ambush for me. Fierce enemies are out there waiting. Though I have done them no wrong, O Lord, despite my innocence, they prepare to kill me. Rise up and help me. Look on my plight. O Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, rise up to punish hostile nations. Show no mercy to wicked traitors. They come at night, snarling like vicious dogs as they prowl the streets. Listen to the filth that comes from their mouths, the piercing swords that fly from their lips. "Who can hurt us?" they sneer. But Lord, you laugh at them. You scoff at all the hostile nations. You are my strength. I wait for you to rescue me. For you, O God, are my place of safety. In his unfailing love, my God will come and help me. He will let me look down in triumph on all my enemies. Don't kill them, for my people soon forget such lessons. Stagger them with your power, and bring them to their knees, O Lord, our shield. Because of the sinful things they say, because of the evil that is on their lips, let them be captured by their pride, their curses, and their lies. Destroy them in your anger. Wipe them out completely. Then the whole world will know that God reigns in Israel. My enemies come out at night, snarling like vicious dogs as they prowl the streets. They scavenge for food, but go to sleep unsatisfied. But as for me, I will sing about your power. I will shout with joy each morning because of your unfailing love. For you have been my refuge, a place of safety in the day of distress. O my strength, to you I sing praises, for you, O God, are my refuge, the God who shows me unfailing love. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Without wise leadership, a nation falls. With many counselors, there is safety.